Jason Manford.
Absolute Radio.
Where real music matters.
Good morning. It's the Jason Manford Show on Absolute Radio. Hope you're very well this Sunday morning. I'm full of beans, me. Steve Edge is here.
Hello.
I had a sense that we might be in different states this morning.
Yeah, we are, aren't we? I don't know. Well, what? I mean.
Well, I'll tell you where I am.
Yeah, where are you?
I'm at home, but I had a lovely 10 days with the family in Portugal.
Lovely.
Sunshine, paddle tennis, just nice food, fish, fruit, absolutely glorious.
She sounds amazing.
Come back for a few days, sorted a few bits out, sorted a plan out on the wall. I can see it in front of me on the wall, a writing plan for my tour, so I feel like my mind is clear, know what I'm doing.
Yeah, cool.
And then this afternoon, I fly off to New York with some mates just for three or 4 days for a little lads trip. Steve, what's going on?
Tam's away working, so I'm at home with... It's half term, isn't it? So the big one's off school.
Yeah.
And the little one's, he's 18 months old, isn't he? So very different needs. On your own, trying to juggle that, cook two different meals and shop and everything. Sleep. That's not happening with the 18-month-old. He's not having that. He's like, I want to get up at half four. Do you know what I'm going to do at half four? I'm going to start clapping. Just clapping. Just in the middle of the night. Right next to your face. I'm going to
you know the mad thing?
What?
You know the mad thing about sleep? When I was on holiday, I actually slept too much.
Did you? Yeah.
Yeah, it's weird.
Well, it's all right. Weird. This goes on for another 4 or 5 days. You have to send us a picture of New York City. I'll definitely not throw that phone through a window.
Yeah, from the city that never sleeps to the dad that never sleeps.
The dad that never sleeps. I mean, I'd be happy for a trip to York at the minute, let alone New York.
Yeah, I know what you mean. It has fallen just quite well for me. And I can't actually believe I've got away with it, if I'm honest.
No.
Like, it sort of just seems to have crept under the radar.
Yeah.
I think because I've got a couple of gigs over there, I've sort of managed to make it, it's a work thing.
Yeah.
But it's not really. I put the gigs on after I was already going, between me and you. But obviously, as we know, we can say this because our wives don't listen to the show, so it don't matter.
Yeah.
So yeah, I got away with it there. Everyone well, though, at your house? No sickness or anything?
Hal wasn't well last week. We had a little trip to the hospital, which is very good, actually. I stayed the night as well. I slept next to him on a little fold-down bed in the children's ward. As you can imagine, you get a good night's sleep in the children's ward.
Yeah, when you're 6 foot two.
yeah, but I mean, it's quiet as well, the children's ward. Imagine, six children. Very quiet. You can hear a pin drop. They were very good. So all the nurses at Conquest Hospital were brilliant. They're fantastic. Brilliant.
Give them a shout-out. Yeah, that's good. I've had illness as well, actually, where the kids have been sick. I don't know, they must have got a bug or something. It flew through the family.
Yeah, it's this little tickly cough thing that everybody's got as well. It's not even a tickler, is it? It's a real chester.
Yeah, this is a stomach bug, I think, that mine have got. But they had it, and my youngest daughter, she's 9, like 5 days, high temperature. I'm never sure with temperature. Like, what's the point where we're supposed to go, let's go to the hospital?
Well, I think it's how long it goes on for. I think that's why we went originally. It was like 2 weeks of
Yeah, this was 5 days of like 39. She sort of crept into 40. That was when we panicked a little bit. But Calpol sort of worked out, brought it down a bit. And then in the end, I spent all yesterday trying to get in at the doctor's. I thought, I'm not sitting in. We go to the hospital and then... how long it's going to take and all. So I'm ringing around trying to see if we can get in at the doctor's. In the end, I found like a private doctor that you've got to like pay for. He's half an hour away. So I'm like, oh God. So anyway, he's like, I can see you at 9:15 tomorrow morning. This was yesterday. So a drive all the way there in the traffic, took us an hour. Got there, parked up outside. I went, right, come on then. She went, I actually feel all right, you know.
Sometimes the car helps, doesn't it?
I was like, are you joking? We've just signed up for a year.
Yeah.
This doctor, so we're going in,
absolutely,
and you better
fine.
Start pretending to be ill.
Yeah, it's amazing what they can do, the cars, these
amazing,
days.
Amazing, isn't it?
Questions for Steve. Questions for Steve. Questions for Steve. Questions for Steve.
Oh, more questions.
Questions for Steve. Questions for Steve. Questions for Steve. Questions for Steve.
Just eat it.
Here he is. So, are you ready for some questions, Steve?
Yes.
Have you had enough questions this...
Yeah, I've had a lot of questions.
This holiday, yeah?
Yeah, but let's move on.
See what happens. All right, well, this one is from Lee in Glasgow.
Okay.
Who says, morning, guys. Firstly, I'd like to tackle this issue head on.
Okay, sounds serious.
On the last show, Hit Me With Your Best Facts segment was launched into... without its jingle, which is quite unforgivable in our household.
Well,
Oh yeah, I remember that actually.
How did that
happen? Do you know, I remember, I think, that what we did was we were in the middle of talking about something else, and then I was like, right, let's get
on. So we just went straight forward without
the
jingle.
I think so. I mean, it's more of a production fault there, I think, rather than ours.
Yeah, but it might have been hard to sort of drop it in there if we'd just...
Let's Adem, what's the shout on that? What's the crap?
You said let's crack on without doing the jingle. So I get led by you. Always get led by the talent.
Maybe we're in a bit of a rush, you know, to get it.
I think we talked about something else, yeah. I mean,
your very first link, you talked absolute nonsense and ran out of time.
Yeah, but that's
every link.
That's
what you're talking about. That's every show.
That's every link on every show.
You've just hit us with your best fact.
Yeah, that's not even. Everyone knows that one.
Yeah, well, I mean, if I literally said, let's crack on and don't play the jingle, then I guess the book stops at me.
Yes, this there, isn't it? I mean,
can't really blame anyone else if they were the exact words I used.
No, that's it, isn't it, really? That's what's happened.
It's pretty damning, yeah.
All right,
well, I'm sorry about that. It made me wonder if your show would be heading down the Netflix route of the skip intro function. On all your jingles, a big no-no in my book, as the intros are sometimes the best bit. I've got to take a little bit of offence by that, if I'm honest.
I bet Dem's not taking offence.
No, because he made them.
Yeah.
Best bit.
He likes to join in. It's like a family thing.
Yeah, I guess so. He says, hashtag bin chat. I think it's being a child of the 80s, we had some of the best TV intro music of all time. The A-Team, Minder, Dukes of Hazzard, to name a few. So I wondered if you guys yourself had a favourite intro. Lee in Glasgow.
Oh.
What's your favourite, Steve?
Well, from childhood, I mean, what's the one that makes you go? I mean, Button Moon was very... Do you remember Button Moon? That was quite...
Button Moon.
Very alluring, wasn't it? It drew you in, didn't it?
Yeah, that was a good one. Follow Mr. Spoon.
Mr. Spoon. They really cobbled that together, didn't they? Tin Can. Yeah. Mr. Spoon. Let's make this as a show. That wouldn't get commissioned these days, would it? Not a chance.
No way. I mean, it's hard to get past. I think because the A-Team... is so, like, it sets everything up as, in 1972, a crack commando unit was sent to a prison military court for a crime they didn't commit. Like, it's got that, like...
It's the old things there, isn't it? And then even within that, there's rocket launchers, there's vans flying in the air. A Fall Guy was a good one. There's a lot of stunts in the beginning of Fall Guy.
Yeah. I've got to say, one of my favourites was the Poddington Peas.
What was that?
Do you not remember that? Might be slightly after your time, that.
Yeah, after my time, I think. What was it? Kids' TV show? Poddington
Peas? Yeah, it was like a load of peas who lived at the bottom of the garden.
No, I don't remember these.
Oh, it was great. It was good. It was like, down at the bottom of the garden, among the birds and the bees.
Oh, that rings a bell.
A lot of little people, they're called the Poddington Peas.
Yeah, that does ring a bell. Do you remember, I think it was called Ratties? And it was like about the rats that lived on the London Underground, and it was narrated by Frankie Howard. That was sort of in the mid-80s,
I think.
That sounds brilliant. Ratties. That was good. I mean, a lot of the kids' ones had it. Murphy's Mob, that's definitely before your time, but it was Gary Oldman and the Heavy Metal Kids. Everywhere you go, everything you see. It was great. That was kids' TV in those days. Really sort of dark, wasn't it? It was all like smashed windows and like graffiti and heroin. That was Grangeville.
That was Grangeville, yeah.
Well, there you go. That's some of our best intros, isn't it?
Yeah, they're definitely some absolute crackers. Actually, I'm going to do an early Hit Me With Your Best Fact.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
A very famous.
Oh, no jingle. Literally, what he's complaining about.
I know, but it's an early one. But I'll do it after this.
Okay.
Down at the bottom of the garden, among the birds.
absolute classic. Classic from the era. But this is what I'm going to surprise you with, Steve.
Yeah.
So do you remember this?
Dashing and daring, courageous and caring, faithful and friendly with stories to share. All through the forest they sing out in chorus, marching along as their song fills the air. Gummy bears.
Yeah, yeah, I do remember that.
Yes, you remember the gummy bears, right? Who sang that?
I don't know. Oh, it's going to be somebody mad, is it? Like Adele.
Mate. It's...
Blow me mind.
That, I mean, that would blow our minds.
Who I'm was gonna, it?
This is a very early Hit Me With Your Best Fact here. Obviously, we play that in the last hour of the show, so I'm not playing the jingle. I'm not upsetting Lee in Glasgow. But that was sung by a guy called Joseph Williams.
Right. Joe Williams.
He is Joseph Williams. He also provided the voice for the adult Simba in The Lion King. Ooh. But they're not even the most amazing things about this guy.
No.
Firstly, he is the lead vocalist for Toto.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's mad, isn't it?
Isn't that mad? And then I'm going to blow your mind even more, Steve.
Go on.
He's the son of legendary composer John Williams.
Oh, this is too much. This is. You have all the mugs. Take all the mugs.
I say, hit me with your best fact. I'm like, jab, spar, uppercut with my best fact.
Yeah, I'm reeling. I've been hit that many times. I don't know where.
He's on the ropes. He's on the ropes.
It's a standing count, this. The ref's just thrown in. Throw the towel in. Come on, guys.
Good, that, isn't it?
A lot of facts. I discovered that The Ratties was narrated by Spike Milligan, but I think Frankie Howard sung the theme tune. I'm sure he did, but maybe I've imagined that. I don't know.
Oh, there you go.
But a
lot of memories coming back for people right now. If you've got any more, all day long, we love nostalgia on this show. So what's your favourite kids' TV show theme tune from back in the day? It doesn't have to be kids. Could be anything.
Knight Rider, that was a good one. That set it all up as well. You know, set it all up that he was Michael Knight.
Yeah.
Right. I can't remember it. Yeah. I think he did tell the story of how he changed his face.
Well, they don't do that anymore.
It's easy. A lot of the sitcoms used to do that. I think Dear John's got that, like, letter from his wife, picking his bags up, leaving the house, being thrown out. And he used to do that, tell the story, didn't he? He knew where you were. He didn't have to tell it every time. He didn't have to have all that unnecessary dialogue going, well, you and Mum have been split up for 3 months now. He didn't need that.
I know what you mean. They sort of...
skip intro, that's why.
Well, skip intro. But then you'd miss stuff like... Do you remember Quantum Leap? That used to have that sort of...
Yeah, full story. You knew where you were.
The full story.
Should bring hoping that back. Full story in the title sequence. Is there any modern versions of that? Has anyone done that recently?
So Dr. Beckett finds himself leaping from life to life, striving to put right what once went wrong, and hoping each time that his next leap will be the leap home. I mean, what more do you need?
It's all there, isn't it? It's all there.
That's what we need. We need more of that. More of that.
This is
Jason Manford.
This is
Absolute Radio,
where real music matters.
Steve, you were at a gig this week, didn't you, with Matt Dyson?
I did. Well, there's a thing they do down here. It's for the Sarah Lee Trust for charity, sort of cancer charity in Sussex. And they do a thing called Beatles Day at the White Rock Theatre. And loads of bands. I mean, it starts at 12 o'clock. It ends at 11 o'clock at night. There's four stages.
That's a shift, that, mate.
Matt Dyson did the first 3 hours. Mm. I did the next 3 hours. And that took us through to 10 past 6. And then I just went home and had a little sleep.
You didn't do it together?
I supported him. You know, I was there in the wings. Well done, mate. You know, shoulder rub. Come on, you got this.
What, but then he just did one?
He wanted to go and watch Forest vs Spurs. So I was, I think originally it was he did an hour and then I did an hour, he did an hour and then I just thought, well, we'll both be here 6 hours then and then,
fair enough.
Might as well just, split it up that and it's easier. And it was, there's a lot of bands on and it is very much, they get 15, 20 minutes each, come on, plug in, go. But a lot of them come on, ning, 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 ning. Just get a bit more top on the bass, mate. Bit more top. I can't hear the voice back in the monitors. Mate, just plug it in. Get on. Get on with it, right? The best bands were the ones that did that. They know what it is. Come on, plug in, bang. Three songs. You know, there's a lot of Sora standing there, a lot of Hey Bulldog this year. One person did Now and Then, you know, the new Beatles song.
Oh, right.
But it's all for a very good cause, and I think they did well. But there wasn't a lot
did
for me and Matt to go on.
Did they ring each other and say, right.
That's what they should. But how would you do this?
And say, what's...
And that's what I mean, how would you do... There's so many bands, you'd have to go, right, there's 200 Beatles songs. Who gets first dibs? And then whoever's at the end going, hang on, what have I got? There's Tony Sheridan stuff when they were the Silver Beatles. So it's hard, isn't it?
So.
It's hard to a lot of people. I think Get Back was quite popular as well.
Yeah, what's the worst Beatles song?
What is the worst Beatles song? I don't know what the worst Beatles song is because there's so many of them. When you're at that day, you do go. I mean, it seems like
Rocky
so
Raccoon.
It's not great, is it? Yeah,
it's not great. Is it?
Rocky Raccoon and Bung. I mean, no one did Revolution Number 9. That 14-minute experimental number nine. No one did that. And I thought, if you're brave, if you're anything like a proper band, have a smash at it. Come on.
I mean, that's got a full orchestra though.
Yeah, but they've got
fire crackling and
they've got all sorts going on and everything. Yeah, no one even did Yellow Submarine. They're not there to please the crowd. A lot of them, a couple of the bands were just pleasing themselves a little bit, I think.
Yeah, well, I think that's fair.
But when I went around the acoustic stages upstairs and stuff, when it was just like a girl on the piano or, you know, somebody on the guitar, they were much, I think they were better gigs to watch, I think.
Oh, okay.
It's more intimate. It feels more intimate. It's, you know, you're celebrating that song with just, you know, your voice and one instrument. Whereas a band sometimes, I don't know, they can sometimes
go, I know what you mean.
Let's make our own sound of the most famous
Obla-dee,
song
Obla-dee,
in the world.
I think that's one of the worst ones.
Not a great one. It's jolly, though. You know, jolly.
Yeah, I guess so. I guess so.
Maxwell, Silver Hammer, stuff like that. There's a lot of stuff that's towards, I don't know. It depends.
What do you think is the greatest Beatles song?
What would you say? I think it depends what mood you're in, don't they? Somebody did Helter Skelter really earlier on, and I thought they did a really good version of it. It's not really a classic Beatles song. You've got to know that it's a White Album song, so there's a lot of experimental stuff on there, like Revolution Number 9. But it was good. It was, you know, raised a lot of money, and me and Matt had a lot of torturous fun.
Jason Manford on Absolute Radio.
So I know your boy was looking forward to April Fool's Day a couple of weeks ago, but was he poorly for it?
I think he might have been. I mean, there was a part of me thinking that was the April Fool, you know, when they brought the sort of chest X-ray machine into the children's ward and to go, April Fool, but he wasn't. I don't know. He was really looking forward to it as well. He had for his birthday, he had this little pack of, it was like a Beano pack of, and it had parking tickets, you know, from Nasha. You put on people's cars. But yeah, he was really looking forward to it. I mean, it's the worst, isn't it? You know what I mean? Because you can't appeal that.
Yeah. I didn't really see any. Felt like this year it went by.
I feel like as you get more older and more sort of, you know, miserable, you see them coming a mile off, don't you?
Well, there is that.
It doesn't feel like they're very subtle anymore. It just says like, oh, guess what? And it's something mad, and you're like, April Fool, obviously.
Yeah, I know what you mean. There was a few too many, because the companies have obviously, Tic Tac did a thing where they were we've teamed up with some hot sauce company and we're doing like Tic Tacs, like a hot sauce flavour.
Yeah.
Stuff like that.
You're not going to buy that, are you? You're not going to buy that.
No, I don't think so.
Nobody drinks hot sauce on their own, do they? They put it on stuff. So why would you need? Not going to buy it. It's not working. I should have said we've teamed up with Marmite or something. Something a bit, I don't know.
Yeah, but there are some, the spaghetti in the tree one, that was a classic, wasn't it?
That's, I mean, they used to try a bit harder then, but it was on, wasn't it on Newsnight or something?
It was Panorama.
Panorama, that's what I mean. They really went for it then, didn't they?
Richard Dimbleby.
And was it in Italy?
Swiss,
I think. Swiss, you're near, aren't you? The border, aren't you? So you've,
growing
pasture and trees,
There was one 1976. Patrick Moore appeared on BBC Radio 2 and announced that at 9:47 a.m. we would feel what he called the Jovian Plutonian gravitational effect. Said at that exact moment, the planets would align and gravity on Earth would get a tiny bit weaker. So if you jumped in the air at the right moment, you would almost float.
Is that what he said? I mean, you'd believe him as well, wouldn't you?
I mean, of course you would.
The monocle and everything.
Monocle Radio 2.
I thought if we all jumped in the air at the same time, the planet snapped in half or something.
Yeah, I think that's true, though, that.
It can't be, though, can it? Because he wouldn't have suggested it, because he'd know that.
Well, yeah, but I think he's just thinking, what's the listenership on Radio 2? As long as as long as China can't hear it, I'll be fine.
Yeah, that's fine,
That's the problem, I think.
Yeah. You just want you don't want people on each side of the world hearing it, because it'll just go straight into the middle, won't it? You just want...
Yeah.
I mean, what's the worst that can happen if everybody in Britain jumps up and down? I mean...
I like the ones that make people angry. They're good. One here from 1998. News circulated that the state of Alabama was to pass a law that would redefine pi, as in pi, the maths equation, to the biblical value of 3.
Oh, that's good.
So they were going to change it to that.
And people just got like mathematicians are just furious, like lashing protractors across the room. Shatterproof ruler, I can't even smash it.
And there was one apparently where the BBC Overseas Service, the World Service, tried to convince the world that it would change to electronic beeps, you know, Big Ben.
Oh, yeah.
Digital Dave.
On the air, Digital Dave. Is that what it was called? Big Ben was going to be called Digital Dave.
Yeah, unfortunately, it did not go down well, as the BBC had hoped, and they had to apologise for weeks after the joke had been made.
Did they even go, and now the news, and go, beep, 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 beep.
Just the bloke in the corner.
What did it do on the big bongs? Did it play like Yellow Rose of Texas? Or the right? That's what all digital watches used to do in the 80s. Didn't it?
Yeah, we missed it. We missed a bit of April Fool's. But like you said, I think it's for kids, isn't it? Like we said the other week.
Yeah, yeah.
It's not really something we do anymore.
Jason. Absolute Radio.
Manford.
Where real music matters.
We've got another question for Steve.
Another one?
Another one. Got loads this week, actually. Loads. If you've got any questions for Steve, or me, or just the world in general, you can email us, jason@absoluteradio.co.uk. Phil says, hi, guys. Regarding the parts you never got in Passenger. All right, Phil.
Oh, I mean, I wasn't even up for it. I mean, you know, I'm nowhere near it. I mean, you were right next to it, but...
I was quite literally next to it.
In the same bed. But so, like, yeah, there's no reason. Yeah. I don't know what's gone on there. Maybe it would have been seen as, you know...
Nepotism.
Yeah, but it wouldn't be me, would it? Because I'm not related.
Well, but even so, you were best man at our wedding and all that. Yeah, so, I know. But, well, Steve. Yeah. So anyway, Passenger's new show. The reason there's a link is because my wife is the exec producer of this new ITV drama, Passenger, which it goes out tonight. In fact, I think it's on a Sunday and a Monday night, and it's all on... I don't know, what's it called?
ITVX.
ITV iPlayer. ITVX, that's it. ITVX. I was actually in a meeting at ITV a little while back, and somebody said in the meeting, quite high up, went, yeah, so, I mean, as long as we can get it on the ITV iPlayer. I was like...
I don't think it's called that, lads.
I think if you're not calling it X, then what are we supposed to call it?
Yeah, we've no idea.
Anyway, Phil says, regarding the parts you never got in Passenger, I'm sure in episode 2... I heard the character played by Arian Nick, he's the young copper, say Boston. Surely that's never a northern stroke Manchester phrase.
Is it? It's not.
Was that part originally written for Steve Edge?
We'll never know, will we? But I mean,
I could have gone and asked her. She's upstairs.
Yeah, ask her. Knock on. I don't think. I mean, no, I don't.
What's Boston mean for the rest of the country, Steve?
It's like good. It's been really good. It's Boston. It's more of a Midlands. It's
I was
going to
say, I don't feel like it's not Wolverhampton, is it?
No, it's more of a Birmingham thing. We say it in the Black Country, but it's more of a it's more of a Birmingham thing, I'd say, Boston.
Yeah, yeah.
The band, remember the band Fuzzbox? Their album was called Boston Steve Austin. That gives you they were a Birmingham band, yeah.
Good rhyme. That's a good rhyme. Yeah, I don't know, really. I don't know where... the writer is Andrew Buchan, but I think... And he's born here. He's from Stockport, where I'm from.
Yeah, he wouldn't. No one would. It's a very, very much a Birmingham thing.
Yeah. So there you go. Maybe the actor. I don't know. Maybe the actor Arian Nick is from the Midlands. I don't know.
Maybe it's changed it. Who knows?
Be weird though, wouldn't it, if you just heard like one of your really local words used in an international like TV show? You know what I mean? Like if you're in the middle of like watching Succession, and out of nowhere Brian Cox goes, "Stop! Just stop mithering me."
Yeah.
You know what I mean? He'd be like, "He'd be like, what?
Yeah.
Stop mithering me, you." Is what he'd say. Please bleep that out, Adem, and please don't get me in trouble. Look, we're already, you know what I mean? We've already seen what can happen. Please don't forget to bleep that swear word I just used. I'm worried now.
I'm saying nothing.
I noticed you weren't quiet because you're the one who got us in trouble bloody last time.
Yeah, stop swearing.
I can't help it. Can't help it. So yeah, maybe I don't know. What a favourite phrase from your area? Is there a phrase that's so local to you that it just feels like it'd be weird if you heard it out of context? Let us know. Jason@absoluteradio.co.uk.
Hit me with your best fact. Fire away.
Woo! There you go. Full jingle, that's for Rainbow, everybody.
For everyone to sing along.
Yeah, especially for Lee in Glasgow and his full family there, singing along in the kitchen. Now, if you want to join in, all you've got to do is email us, jason@absoluteradio.co.uk. Send us your best fact. Steve, is it going to beat my facts from earlier?
It's pretty good, that.
Williams, the singer of Gummy Bears, also being the lead singer of Toto.
And the son of John Williams.
Son of John Williams. Yeah,
that was
a good one. That just popped up on Facebook the other day, and I thought, oh, I can't wait to tell Steve that. That's what's great about a good fact. You, as soon as you hear it, you think, I can't wait to tell that person.
That's what we're after. That's the winner.
That was the feeling of it.
That wins the generic Absolute Radio mug. I'd say we reward. Let's not say win. Let's say reward.
Andy Watson kicks us off this morning, and he tells us that there are more atoms in a teaspoon of water than there are teaspoons of water in the Atlantic Ocean.
Hang on, say it again. There are more atoms in a teaspoon of water than there are what?
Teaspoons of water in the Atlantic Ocean.
Just chose one ocean. I thought you would say all the water in all the world.
You could probably say that, couldn't you?
Yeah. That's like that Stereophonic song, isn't it? And it takes one match to burn 1,000 trees, and it takes one tree to make 1,000 matches. It's not that, innit? But yeah. It'll probably be on next, so I just thought I'd mention it. Or it's probably already been on.
Probably. Who knows? Sarah Wolfenden says, as Steve likes the Back to the Future films, here is a strange fact. Did you know that... You'll know this already. I'm going to say this, Steve. I'm going to start reading it, and I'm going to give you a couple of opportunities to finish.
Yeah, I'm not the Back to the Future fan. It's my son, but I've seen him. But yeah,
we're both a big fan of the film.
Yeah,
I actually did know this, but again, I only found it out recently. Did you know that Crispin Glover, who played Marty McFly's dad,
He's only in the first one.
He's only in the first one.
Yeah,
and not in any of the sequels yet. Yeah. It appears to be him, but it's actually not. He actually tried to sue the studio.
Didn't they do like a latex replica of his face and use that put on the other actor
He's
in the two films, isn't he? But
I do know that he was difficult to work with, I think. Good one. Aaron Dodd says, your phone becomes heavier the more you store and download stuff.
No. What?
Shut up.
You're all right. Yeah, I've had like 10 text messages. My phone's just killing me. It's ripping my jeans.
Minuscule, I'm sure.
Yeah, still. Tiny. It's writing something, but it's not like
Steve, these have been checked and verified.
No, I'm sure they have, but I mean,
on BBC Bite Size. So.
But not to a noticeable, I don't know. Surely the more you use the battery, it becomes lighter as well. I mean, surely that's a thing, is it? The less battery power you've got left, it's lighter. And if you put the torch on, it's definitely lighter.
I mean, more energy equals more mass, you know. I don't know.
Well, that's doing more, though, isn't it? But when it's in, you know, just next to your bed, just charging. I mean, it's everything because the lead's plugged in. But, I don't know. Yeah.
Do you not think it's just because you've got it, like if you hold anything for any amount of time, it starts to feel heavier? Do you think because you're looking at it while it's downloading, you're like, God, that feels heavy now?
Isn't there a story about Steve Jobs when they made the first, I think it's the first iPhone, and they'd been developing it for years, and they bought it in his office, and he went, make it smaller. And they went, we can't make it smaller. Literally every little bit inside is full. He went, make it smaller. It's not full. He went, it is. Every corner inside is completely full. And he picked the prototype up and dropped it in a fish tank, and three bubbles rose up. He went, make it smaller. Because the bubbles wouldn't come in, would they, if there was space inside?
Nice.
Don't know if it's true, but, you know, it's a nice story.
So, yeah. Well, sort of a nice story. Also a bit like, all right. Calm down, mate.
No, I'm sure he did that. And then went, so that, bring the real prototype. No, that was the prototype. We got one. I got to start again. Yeah. Oh, well done, Steve.
We crack on with Adrian Jarvis, who says, historians think the thumbs up in the Colosseum gladiator battle was an order to kill, while down was to lower your sword and dagger and give mercy. Oh. Hollywood thought that was confusing, as viewers saw the thumbs up as an okay sign, so stuck with that and thus confused us all since.
So you should be doing thumbs down.
Yeah, so thumbs down is, hey, leave him, he's had enough.
I know, but in a gladiatorial pit, you want to see him killed, so thumbs up is right, isn't it? It's like, yeah, go on, kill him. You're not turning up going, oh my God, they're not going to kill a guy, are they? Oh no, that's awful. I didn't come for that. I came for the speeches. Yeah. That's what you're going to. You know, that's, you know.
Of course. But I guess that they're writing, Hollywood are writing away the thumbs up. Because also then you've got a point where they kill a guy and yet the Caesar stood there going, no, thumbs down. Thumbs down is put your sword down.
Oh, so I got confused. Isn't it the same with diving? Isn't thumbs up means we're going to the top or something rather than I'm all right?
I'm all right. Yes. I think with all these things, you've got to just confirm it before you get down there.
Isn't there a country somewhere where they when they mean yes, they shake their head, and when they know, they nod their head? There is a country. It's something to do if they got invaded by somebody and they had to denounce whatever, their religion or their god or their king or whatever, or else they're beheaded. And then they said, do you denounce? And they went, I do. And then did the opposite. So they didn't actually do it. I think somebody will fill the big gaps in on that story.
I'm sure they will. I had to do a weird diving exercise last week. We were on holiday and at the bottom of the pool.
Yeah. Oh, I'm diving in a pool, not like scuba diving. I was like, I didn't know.
No, diving. I mean, it's still quite far down, but at the bottom of the pool was like a plastic thing that had snapped, and my daughter cut a foot on it at some point. I thought it's going to be a long holiday, if we can't use that bit of the pool or whatever. Yeah. So, anyway, sort of ringing around trying to get someone. No one could come out and fix this thing.
So you got your full wetsuit on, flippers, goggles.
Yeah. Ton weight.
I'm going in. Yeah.
So we had to try and get down there to unscrew this thing off the bottom of the pool.
Yeah.
Trying to get down there and stay down there is really hard with a screwdriver. Because what happens is, so the first time I dove down, I turned the screwdriver and my whole body turned. Because it's so light there. My whole body was turning round. I was like, right. So
that's not going to work. Plan B.
So I found there was an 8 kilogram kettlebell in the little gym there. So I went and got that.
I'd love to. Did you film this?
Mate, I should have. Honestly, it was like comedy. So in the end, I had to use that to weigh myself down whilst I say it's terrifying. 8 kilograms is not a lot, really. You know, when you think of, you know, your.
And what is that underwater? Like half a kilogram?
Yeah, exactly. If that was in your clothes, you'd be dead. Like, honestly, it's not a lot to keep you down there.
Yeah.
But I sort of weighed myself down there, screwed it. And then, obviously, I just can't. The breathing, then I'm having to come back up.
You've got to breathe out, haven't you?
It's taking forever.
To go to the bottom, yeah.
So, in the end, I was like, right, let's share this task. So, it became a task. The kids got involved.
Yeah.
My wife was, she's the best swimmer in the family. So, she was like, she did most of it, to be fair. And then I was like trying to be, you know, the man of the family, the dad of the family. Right, this has got to be done. And then our friend's son, he's a brilliant swimmer. He's like 13. I said, right, you have a go. He went down there. He got one screw out and he came back up with the screw and was like, yeah, he did it. And everyone cheered. But, and you'll know from my phobia, Steve, I looked at him and the biggest, longest snot was coming out of his nose.
Yeah. I said, like, even in that moment of triumph, he'd done that thing the entire family couldn't manage on their own.
No.
He'd done it and you were like, oh, mate, have a look at yourself.
Not just that, though. I had to get out of the pool. Like, there was something. Honestly, I was heaving. I had to go inside. That was on the Thursday and I never went in the pool again for the rest of the holiday.
So the bit that cuts the foot was gone, but the mental image of the phlegm.
Now I'm talking about it, I feel crazy about it.
I'd sell that villa now because you're never going to use that pool again. I don't think you'll ever get the strength to go in there again now. Seeing that.
Even now, just talking about it, I'm making my eyes water.
Yeah, just get rid.
Let's get some more out of the way here, Steve.
Yes.
And then we'll pick a winner. Tuck has messaged and says...
Tuck?
Like
the biscuit? T-U-C?
The fryer.
Okay.
In theory, the duck-billed platypus of Australia, apart from being venomous, is the only animal... It's venomous, mate.
I never knew it was venomous. Did you know
it's
venomous?
I never knew it was venomous.
That could be the fact itself. It's venomous.
It's venomous. No.
Imagine that. Did you hear he got poisoned? He's dead. What killed him?
What got him?
Like a viper or something in Australia. You know the duck-billed platypus? Yeah. Just killed him outright.
Just got him. That's not good, is it?
No.
Have you ever seen that Norm Macdonald sketch about Steve Irwin? I mean, it's obviously very sad.
I've not seen it.
It's just about the fact that Stingray got him rather than, and just how annoyed the crocodiles were when they found out. You're not going to believe this, Dave. It's very dark, but it's very funny.
Yeah, but yeah.
So anyway, the duck-billed platypus of Australia is the only animal that can make its own custard-producing both milk. Yeah.
Custard?
It can make its own custard because it produces both milk and its own eggs.
I know, but I wouldn't say it's custard. Yeah, but I've pictured the platypus.
Would you eat it?
Over a stove, slowly whisking in an egg. All right, he'll be there in a minute.
The apple pie's going cold.
Well, this will warm it up. Don't make me venomise you.
Yeah, I don't know if we can take in theory as a fact. The fact is that
It's milk and eggs is the thing. But you could say you could make Yorkshire puddings as well. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
A duck-billed platypus is the only one that can make its own Yorkshire puddings. In theory.
Yeah. In theory, it's the only animal that celebrates Pancake Day by itself. Yeah, it's a bit odd. Jenny Frith says, in Iceland, there was no TV shows broadcast on a Thursday until 1987.
Oh, really? Didn't say why.
Didn't say why. Clever Jenny.
Clever.
Clever Jenny, I like it. Why is that then? What's going on on a Thursday?
It says special.
Rob Edmonds. Everyone in Japan will have the same surname by 2531. Unless laws are changed to allow married couples to have different names.
Oh, is that so, is it? Everyone in Japan will have... 2031?
2531, so we'll not be here.
That's all right. I'm still reeling that Wolves are going to win the Champions League in 2042 on that AI.
Well, AI have worked it out.
Yeah,
I sent Steve a little thing the other day that said AI meant Wolves...
They've worked out who's going to win the Champions League, haven't they? The European Cup for the next... to 50 years.
But they also said Notts Forest are going to do it, so I wouldn't hold any hope.
Well, you know. You never know.
Never know. Sunday mornings, 8 till 11. Jason Manford on Absolute Radio. Where real music matters. What do you reckon, Steve? There's some decent ones there.
Yeah.
I'll rattle through them.
Go on.
To refresh your memories. So we had... there are more atoms in a teaspoon of water than teaspoons of water in the Atlantic Ocean.
Mm-hmm.
Crispin Glover only played Marty McFly's dad in the first one. He did not appear in the sequels. It was played by a different actor. Yeah. Aaron Dodd tells us that your phone becomes heavier the more you store and download.
Yeah, I do like that.
It's a good one. I mean, yeah. I feel like that might be an in theory one as well, to be fair. But
yeah,
I mean, it has been checked. Adem, you definitely checked that one on BBC Bite Size?
I've definitely checked it. I've checked it on BBC Bite Size and on MSN News.
Okay, two big sources there. Adrian Jarvis told us about the thumbs up and thumbs down is actually the wrong way round. Hollywood spoilt that one for the Colosseum Gladiators. The duck-billed platypus, not only is it venomous, but apparently it can make its own custard. Theoretically. Because it produces both milk and eggs. Jenny Frith says that in Iceland there was no TV broadcast on a Thursday until 1987, but she does not tell us why.
I want to know, though. That's the thing.
And everyone in Japan will have the same surname by 20... I don't know how to say that year. 2531? Yeah. Unless laws are changed to allow married couples to have different names. I didn't know that was a thing, so...
I didn't. No.
What does that mean, then? So, hold on. So the couples have the same name?
No. Yeah.
I don't know how how the maths of that... Because isn't that the same here in this country? People have the same names. So why specifically in Japan?
I don't know. Maybe you keep, I don't know. I can't work it out.
Yeah, I don't get that.
No.
That's a bit crazy.
It's there, isn't it?
But that's good. It's teasing us as well there. Because...
Yeah. Partial fact in it. So I need to know that how that works. But, you know... I want to know why Iceland... I've got no telly on Thursdays.
Oh, okay. That's the one that's tickled you, is it?
Yeah, well, it's, you know, if you're watching a four-part drama.
Yeah.
And it starts on a Monday, this is brilliant, this. And then you go, oh, what? Oh, it's not on. There's no telly tonight, is there? Can't watch it tomorrow because Gogglebox is on, so we'll have to watch it Saturday now. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
Swedish
yeah.
Gogglebox. Yeah. Icelandic Gogglebox.
Of course. In 1986.
Yeah.
No TVs on Thursdays. I'm just trying to look here now to see if... I don't want to end up on Quora.
No, because then you'll keep getting emails going, do you still want to know about Icelandic TV?
No, I don't need that. Until 1988, it says. They can't get the year right. I've seen three different years.
Oh, okay.
Iceland had only one state-run TV station.
Oh, okay. There's only one channel.
Yeah, so before 1982, the Icelandic TV station, so that's 1988, and it did not broadcast during the month of July. The month of July. That was before 1987. It did not broadcast on Thursdays to promote human interaction. It said that most children born 1988 in Iceland were conceived on a Thursday.
Well, there you go. That's what happened. It's
maybe that's
where
that phrase
boom.
Comes from. You know, people say, there's no telly in your house.
Yeah. Thirsty's child, literally.
Yeah. Thirsty's child had no telly.
Yeah, not for the grace. You want to hear it? No.
Something like that. There are three stations now, but most programs now obviously come from the USA and UK. So that was the reason. So it was an actual, they did it
It's a good idea, isn't it? So have a chat, do something. It depends, because don't Iceland have that sort of 24 hours of darkness for a couple of months of the year and stuff? You don't want that, do you? We can't even watch the telly.
Yeah, that's a bit odd.
Yeah. Just snuggle up, just watch a bit of telly. No.
Well, there you go.
No, it's Thursday, isn't it? No telly.
All right. Yeah, imagine just a husband looking at the wife you know what day it is, don't you?
Thursday. No telly day. All right, we'll just have a game of cards or something. No cards day. Lost the cards. Well, I'll just cook us some herring or whatever we eat. No heading at the fishmongers today. What are you angling towards?
Everyone was conceived on a Thursday. That's hilarious. Jason
Manford. Absolute Radio.
Where real music matters.
I say it was annoying this week. I was thinking about going up to the Edinburgh Festival. And doing a week there. And it's always difficult because, obviously, Edinburgh, especially the Fringe Festival, it's a fringe, isn't it? So it's for new people.
Starting out people. Starting out, trying to get established.
Yeah, so I always think acts going up there and just, absolutely mopping up is a bit out of order, you know. So what I try and do is I try and book like an afternoon slot, so I'm not taking away from any of the comedy in the evening, and like in a smaller venue, 200 seats, something like that, 210 seats.
Yeah.
And I'm doing a work in progress generally. Yeah. And so this year I had this extra idea, which was I thought, oh, I'll tell you what I'll do. Because it's so expensive to go to Edinburgh. There's actually it's like a sort of a charity called Best in Class, which is run by a comedian called Sean Davis, where they sort of encourage working class comedians, basically comics who can't afford to go to Edinburgh. It sort of gives them a bursary or helps
them, you
know, put on a show and that sort of stuff. So I thought, great. So I rang my agent. I said, look, what I'd like to do is, I said, let's, and then it really doesn't matter that I'm coming up to Edinburgh because I'll be able to help someone else to get up there. Yeah. Let's put the profits from my show into this charity and then Bob's your uncle, I'm sinless essentially.
Yeah.
For doing the Edinburgh Festival. So anyway, I look into doing it for a week. I said to my daughters, why don't we go to Edinburgh and stuff? So I'm looking for like a 2-bedroom apartment in Edinburgh.
During the festival week.
During the festival for a week. Plus, you know, what you're paying for the venue, plus for everything else. She came back to me, she went, you know, you said you wanted to donate profits to this fund.
How much is left?
Yeah, she was like, there is none. You're working at a loss.
So even going up to do something good, you still can't do it.
But and so what I said was, obviously, it's me, so it doesn't matter necessarily with me because I'm about to go on a big tour and, I'm doing all right now. It's fine. You know, it's not like it was when I first started. But what I said online when I complained about this was, I said, I can't understand how anybody new is going to get the chance to go to Edinburgh Festival. And that's where, and the worry creeps in, because obviously you get a lot of people going, well, that's the free market. That's the way it should be. You go, yeah, it's not how it works though, is it? When it's stopping people going.
Has it just got more expensive than year on year?
Yeah, I mean, naturally things get more and more expensive, but there is an element of greed. I mean, the venues take a hell of a whack up there, considering a lot of them are just turning. This used to be someone's office. Move the photocopier and put a mic stand. That's now a gig.
This is C28.
Exactly. The accommodation, and I think the council might have. I don't know the ins and outs, but from what I'm getting off Twitter, the council have made it very difficult for it, and it means there's not as many Airbnbs and all that sort of stuff. But it is a joke up there. It really is for people, and you know, people say, well, why don't you just stay in Glasgow and wherever you go, sort of defeats the purpose, doesn't it? You want to go.
You know, you want to be in the festival. You want to be in Pleasance Courtyard and all that, don't you? And feel part of it.
Yeah, but the worry is, it means that people, you know, especially working class comics. You think of the working class comics over the years who've done well up there. Peter, you know, Frank, you know, lots of people who we wouldn't know those people. Sarah Millican, you know, Flight of the Conchords, just random people who've gone on to great things. Who you'd never heard from. And I think that's the worry, is you're suddenly getting, the only people doing comedy or getting anywhere are people who've got money or have come from money.
I mean.
And that's a worry, isn't it?
Does seem to be the thing with a lot of businesses.
Well, though, yeah, same with the acting, yeah,
same
of course.
With acting, I think, yeah.
But it's, you know, in comedy, it's like, you know, the jester is the only one who's able to take the mickey out of the king. But what happens if all the jesters are just mates of the king and went to the same school as the king?
Yeah, or one of them used to be the king.
Exactly, yeah. It's not quite the same. Turning a mirror on society. But yeah, it's 20 years ago, you'd say, a kid would say to you, how do I get to be an actor or a comedian? And you'd say, work hard, learn your lines, treat people nice and turn up on time and you might get there. Now you go, how do you become a comedian or an actor? Just come from money. That's really the only way you're gonna make it. It's an absolute travesty. But anyway, that was my complaint. And that's how I phrased it on Twitter. But that's not necessarily how it was repeated in the newspapers.
Right. Which more swearing. Just,
no, less swearing, but more like Jason Manford priced out of going to Edinburgh. Like,
oh, okay, so it became.
That's not what I was saying. People going, he could afford it. I was like, no. Rein it in. That's not what I said. I said I feel for people who can't afford it. So, anyway, that was me blasting the Fringe, apparently.
Stop blasting, man. Stop blasting.
Mate, I can't help it. I'm always blasting. I can't help it.
Blasting the trombone next.
Jason Manford.
Absolute Radio.
Where real music matters.
Thanks for joining us this morning here on Absolute Radio. Grab the podcast after the show. There's hundreds on there. And you can also email it anytime. Jason at absoluteradio.co.uk. Have a lovely Sunday. Have a lovely week. Take care.